This morning I want to introduce a sort of theme which I believe the Lord put in my heart in the middle of last year, just to share. And I want to start off, you've already seen the bulletin that was available for this month. You'll be one step in front, or you've already started to read it, put it that way. You know this symbol that's on the screen? The 10 out of 10 might be a reminder to you or represent to you a scoring full marks in a maths test at school, but they've achieved the best that they can get. 10 out of 10 might also refer to a rating that, or a scoring system that we use for perhaps talking about the quality of something or its suitability for use. You might look at an advert for a kettle or something like that, and it might say that it's only got an 8 out of 10 rating, but you mean it's not as good as something with a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. Very often if you look in these TV magazines and things like that, you'll see that they rate films with a score and a rating. You know, they give it a 10 out of 10 rating if it's a film that doesn't be missed. And if they only score it a 2 out of 10 rating, you know it's something to avoid and don't waste your time watching. But when it comes to mathematics, 10 out of 10 represents 100%, or it represents the whole thing. And we use this number 10 all the time. All of our numbering system is geared and based on the number 10. Our currency, it's based around 10. Dates, geared on around 10. You know, we have what we call the decimal system, which literally means 10. It's from the word of the prefix deci, which is 10. And we have other things that fall into that thing like decade, 10 years. We have things like, just again, in 10, you have things like 10 millimetres equals 1 centimetre. 10 centimetres equals 1 decimetre. 10 decimetres equals 1 metre. Everything revolves around the number 10. And 10 is a whole number. It represents wholeness. And it's also a significant number in Scripture. And if we go through the Scriptures, you can see that 10 is a very significant number. And the number 10 means completeness. It means wholeness. It means fullness. In actual fact, when we look at God, it talks about God's perfection in His order. God's perfect order. And just to give you a few examples from the Scriptures this morning of God's perfect order in the number 10, or the wholeness in the number 10, or fullness in the number 10, you have the fullness of God's law, or the whole of God's law, was wrapped up into 10 commandments. And those 10 commandments represent the whole of the law. It's not just 10 things that God said in the Old Testament that if you keep them, yeah, you're doing well. The 10 commandments represent the whole of the law that God spoke. And God summarized it in 10 short commandments. The 10 plagues. plagues of Egypt represent the whole of God's judgment upon Pharaoh and upon the land. When we start looking at, we did this, I'm trying to think how long that was now, a couple of years ago, when we were looking at the book of Revelation. When you look into things like in Daniel, you see the 10 toes and the 10 horns. They represent the whole or the entire world system operated by Antichrist. In Genesis 15, we read about 10 nations, and those 10 nations represented the fullness of the Abrahamic covenant. Everywhere God told Abraham to go and possess and take possession of the promised land, Abraham's inheritance, you'll see in Genesis 15, verses 18 to 21, it lists 10 nations that represent, that was the extent of Abraham's inheritance. In Matthew 25, you read about 10 virgins. And they talk about the whole nation of Israel. A little bit of information here for you, in case you wasn't aware of it. But the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, the pattern that Jesus taught us how to pray, is divided into 10 stanzas. We've just brought to God this morning our offering, or we brought our tithe, which is a tenth of our total income. In actual fact, the tithe is what God demanded as a token that He's got our all. Yeah, we sing the songs and we make that thing so easy. Yeah, we're giving our all. Everything we've got. Well, that's a token of that God demanded the tithe in the Old Testament. You know, what we give God, we might just think of it as a monetary gift or something, but it represents all that we've got. You know, it's talking about wholeness, it's talking about completeness, fullness, the number 10. And it's, you go through the scriptures and you'll see it time and again where the number 10 comes out, it's talking representative of the whole. God's perfect order. Well, as I was waiting upon the Lord, certainly in the middle of last year, God began to just share some things that I believe He wants me to share. And I haven't actually got around to doing it yet. And, you know, as I was waiting on the Lord the other day, I thought this is obviously the time and the place that God has chosen for what He shared with me last year. You know, this number, 10 out of 10, for us today represents 10 things that God wants us to have and experience in 2010. 10 for 10. And you'll see it, you may see it when you came in on the screen, and you'll see it, it's in the bulletin. I believe in 2010, I'm going to take the time over the next, however long it takes me, certainly over this next year, not every time I minister, but as to when I feel the Lord quickens me, to look at some of these 10 things that God wants us to receive this year. And I'm calling it our time to receive the fullness of God, because that's what 10 represents. It represents fullness. In the scriptures in Joel 1:16, we have this verse, and I picked it out from the Amplified translation here. Because it says, "For out of His fullness," or His abundance, "we have all received." Listen to this. "We've all had a share and we were all supplied with one grace after another. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." You know, the scripture says in John 1:16, "For out of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace," in our King James versions. But this, just like this, out of His fullness, out of His abundance, we are all received. You know, God's got something for us all to receive. Out of His fullness, we've all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another. The grace is God's favour. It's God's love, it's God's favour made manifest to us. You know, that's why we can tap on, and I believe John Wesley also writes this in part of his commentary. He says that it's one spiritual blessing upon another spiritual blessing. Favour upon favour and gift upon gift. You know, that's talking about the fullness of God, about the abundance of God. That's why I took the liberty this morning just looking up some dictionary definitions of the word fullness in Webster's, that Joe put on the screen. Webster's dictionary says this, in fullness, it says, it's number one, it's the state of being filled so as to leave no part vacant. Fullness. The state of being filled so as to leave no part vacant, no part empty. Or number two, another definition of it from Webster says, it's the state of abounding or being in great plenty and abundance. To abound and be in great plenty, to be full. Number three, or the third definition that Webster lists, talks about completeness, or the state of a thing in which nothing is wanting. And he says perfection. You know, out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we've all received. And that's the fact, if you delve into the Greek meaning of the word fullness, you'll see it really means to be filled. Well, he's saying that argue with that. To be full is to be filled. To be made full, to be made complete. Or it's another word, which it says in Strong's dictionary, is the word repletion. I've never heard of that, I always like to look it up. And repletion means to be filled or well supplied, to have an abundance. To be filled or well supplied, to have an abundance. Or actually, as the dictionary, I was looking the word up in, it says this. Like you very often hear people say after they've had a big meal, I'm stuffed. That's what it means, to be stuffed. To be full. Out of his fullness, we have all received. We've all had a share. You can put that verse back on now, Joe. Put it back up, too. For out of his fullness we have all received, we all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and favour upon favour, and gift heaped upon gift. God wants to stuff us full with his blessing, with his favour, with his grace, and with his gifts. If you want to look at God's perfect purpose for blessing his people, you say, well, how much does God want to bless me? But if you want to look at what God's perfect purpose and plan to be blessing you is, you can look in two places in the scriptures. One, you can look at heaven, because heaven is perfection. Heaven is all that God has purposed and planned for you and me. You know, we often look at heaven and we say, well, this is what it's going to be like in heaven. We go to Revelation and the scriptures that teach us. We say, yeah, there's going to be no sickness there, no death, no dying, no crying, no weeping, no tears. There's going to be no darkness. The streets are paved with gold. The walls are established and built on precious gems. And best of all, Jesus is going to be there. It's the place where what God has gone to prepare a place for us. Well, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, as he said to his disciples in John 14. And that's one place we can look and see what God's perfect plan and purpose for us is. The other one is at the other end of the Bible, and we can look at the Garden of Eden, because that's what God originally intended for us. In actual fact, Eden and the Garden And I need to point out that when we talk about Eden, we always think refer to the garden, but the garden was in a place called Eden. And Eden, or the garden there, was a representative image of heaven. It's what God, it was God's taste, God's, what he likes. And because we were made in his image, God thought we would like it as well. Now heaven is God's taste. Everything God enjoys. Everything that God wants to have. And Eden was a representative image of heaven. It was like a little piece of heaven, if you like, on earth. Eden. I want to go through very briefly this morning. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I just want to go through and you can find it if you want to trace it in Genesis 1, 2 and 3. Because I'm going to take the time in the coming weeks and months to just take each one individually and just share about them. But I want to go through, and if you've got a minute, if you've got a copy of the bulletin, they're all listed in there anyway, so you can take it over and think about it and just meditate upon these things. But these 10 things are all found in Eden. I'm not believing and expecting that in 2010 we'll start to see a manifestation of the fullness of God or the fullness of the blessing in these areas. Number one, the goodness of God. In Genesis 1 is packed full with this statement. It was good. It was very good. God saw it and it was good. God's goodness is jam-packed into Eden, into creation. Everything God made was good. And not only that, the goodness of God, we had this again at the beginning of last year. We talk about the glory of God. God's goodness is his glory. And the glory of God is his goodness. And so everything about God, everything of the glory of God is revealed in creation. God's glory is goodness. And what we see in Eden and in the Garden of Eden, and just talking about creation here, but it's the goodness of God. Everything God did was good. God caused the earth to yield its fruit, to grow trees and plants. And it was good. Then God made man, set it in the garden, and God saw that it was good, his creation was good. You know, chapter 2 starts off this, it says, thus the heavenly day God rest ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day of all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created. And I can just picture God here, you know, coming to the end of creation, sitting back, looking over his creation on the seventh day, and think, yeah, what a good job I've made there. You know, this is goodness. And to sit back and enjoy his creation. Then we move on. The second thing we see in the scriptures. Now, those examples aren't necessarily in any particular order. The second item I believe we're going to see a lot of this year is wisdom and understanding concerning God's word. In Genesis 2, God sets Adam, particularly in the garden, before Eve had been created. God gives them a command. He says that you can eat of every tree of the garden. But then he says that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That to me talks about discernment. You know, there is a place where we can discern truth. So we can discern God's will. You know, the knowledge of good and evil. Discern what God is sharing with us in Scripture. We're going to see an explosion this year in understanding of God's wisdom, not just God's word, but God's plan, God's ways. God reveals and makes it known to us. When you're in Eden, you see, it's packed full with material wealth. Genesis 2 tells us, in verse 12, it says that the gold of the land is good. The devil and the onyx stone are there. Again, this is all part of the land of Eden. Might not be talking about necessarily the garden, but in Eden, it was a place of material wealth. Gold within the land. There were precious stones in the land. Well, why shouldn't there be? Because that's what's in heaven. And if this was just an image of heaven, you know, God's fullness in the area of material prosperity, material wealth. The one thing that is evident through Eden. It's abundant life. Talking in the Garden of Eden, the center of the Garden of Eden, God set the tree of life. And right there in Eden, God put a place that is people, his creation, his man could enjoy abundant life. He could take of the tree. He could eat and enjoy the fullness of God's blessing. All how we need abundant life. One of the scriptures in the New Testament, quote it often, in John 10, verse 10. There's another two tens. John 10, verse 10, says that Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life. I've come that you might have life." The Amplified puts it like this: "I've come that you might come and have life to the full, the fullness of abundant life." It's all found in Eden. You don't get any garden, you don't get any land. One thing is, which, although it doesn't actually specifically say it in the scriptures, it's obviously evident because God caused the earth to bring forth these things, and there's growth in the garden. You know, in the blessing of God, there's growth. You know, we grow up, we move on, we progress. We're not just there, we're not just camping, but we're moving on. And with God, there's always growth. The fullness of God includes growth. But we grow in ourselves, we grow in grace, we grow in faith. We grow in the things of God, we grow up. We don't stay spiritual babies, but we become spiritual adults. We come to maturity. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ that's here in this center. There's going to be growth. You've got to stop believing and expecting growth. That God's going to not just grow us ourselves, but we're going to grow out of the church as well. We grow together. We increase. That's another good word there for growth. Increase in the fullness of God's blessing. The sixth thing that we've got in the Garden of Eden, that part of the voice of God, is there's an overflow of joy. Well, there's refreshing waters. Eden, there was a river which parted and became four rivers. And skirted the whole land. You know, the river, wherever the river went, it brought life, joy, and blessing. You know, refreshing waters always talk about joy. You know, the falling brook, joy. You know, we sang that song this morning and said, put down the fullness of God coming like a mighty river. You know, it's coming down in that fullness like a river flowing free. Hallelujah. It reaches me. The joy of the refreshing waters. That's about the scripture says that God caused the mist to come up on the land and water the land. Then number seven, the seventh thing that we find in Eden, part of the fullness of the blessing of God, is the provision of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had no one. They were fed every day. They had an ample supply of food to eat. Every need was taken care of. You know, there's the provision. It's not talking so much about material wealth and things like that, but just our daily existence, our daily needs. God knows the things we need, and He supplies. You know, out of His fullness, we've all received the provision of our needs. The last three things that we find in the Garden of Eden. We find that Adam needed a helpmate. Adam needed someone to draw alongside. In other words, Adam needed unity. There needed to be a togetherness. Unity with each other. And that's part of God's blessing, that we are united. Because where the brethren dwell together in unity, the scripture says, there the Lord commands the blessing. Number 9, we see in Genesis 3 and verse 8, that God came down in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam. Part of His fullness is fellowship with God Himself. You know that time of close communion with God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. You know, many times through the book of Acts, it talks about God's people being full of the Holy Spirit, full of God, full of that fellowship with God, part of His fullness. Then the last thing I want to share this morning, we find this in Eden, the authority in the life of the believer. God gave Adam authority and dominion. And God's never taken that back. Now Adam surrendered it to Satan. Adam gave it away, let the devil run rampant. But Jesus came so that He could return that authority. Jesus died, and we remember that this morning, that we might have that authority. He might give us that authority. What's He saying in the chest? He says, all authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Then another scripture says, I give you the authority. He gave it back to us. Jesus went and snatched the authority from what was Satan, taken from Adam. He went and He took it back, and now He's given it back to His people. Let them be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then God said to them, see, I'll give you every herb that you'll see, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit you'll see. To you it shall be for food. To every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food. The God gave man dominion. It's found in Eden. And it's part of the fullness of God. You know, this year, I want to share, I want to share it. The Lord put this on my heart in the middle of last year, talking about the fullness of the Eden blessing. So you might hear me use that statement quite a few times, talking about the Eden blessing, the blessing of Eden. In other words, talking about the fullness of God, what God wants us to have. For out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received. We have all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift, heat upon gift. 10 for 10. 10 things for 2010. Talking about the fullness of God. I believe this year we have time to receive of the fullness of God. We go forward from there. Let's go forward. Let's go in faith. Let's go expecting God to move. What a time we've had this morning. You know, the justice will come to a close. I just want to tag this on to my message this morning. But we sang that song, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen One. You know, all of heaven is declaring God's glory, God's goodness, the fullness of God. You know, heaven makes a declaration this morning of God's goodness, of His glory. The glory of the risen Lord. And then we see in the second verse of that song, says, I will proclaim. Let's start to proclaim it, declare it, believe it. You know, it's already been said this morning. We've got to start, you know, speaking the blessing. Speaking what God's going to do. Not just for us, but for others. You know, when you meet someone, speak the blessing. Speak into their lives. Impart God's will into them. You know, be a blessing. Proclaim the glory, the goodness of God. And it won't be long. Once we start doing that, it won't be long before we start seeing ourselves. Things happening in our lives. Goodness, the way. You know, why do all these good things happen to you? Well, it's the blessing of God that's starting to work. When you start being a blessing, you start giving the blessing, you start speaking the blessing, you start speaking good things to each other. It's the law of seed, time, and harvest. As you sow that blessing, you reap the blessing. The God will not see you go short. So be a blessing, and you'll be blessed. Start proclaiming the goodness and glory of God. As heaven declares it, you proclaim it. I can almost guarantee that you'll receive it, because God won't see you go short when you start acting like that. You know, God's got so much for us, and I believe this year will be a year where we start to experience that fullness. So let's go in faith this morning. Let's go in expectation. We've had a good time in the presence of God. It's not meant to be just one isolated incident that occurs every occasion. This is a daily occurrence in the life of a Christian. This should be a daily occurrence. We hear it from God, but God's speaking to us. God's blessing us, leading us on. So let's go and be blessed. Amen.